In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Than a streak of lightning, more powerful than the pounding surf, mightier than a roaring hurricane, this amazing stranger from the planet Krypton, the Man of Steel, Superman. Possessing remarkable physical strength, Superman fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice. Disguised as a mild-mannered newspaper reporter, Clark Kent.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video CryptoCast. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Morten Hoof.
Hello.
And this one, this particular installment of the Superman cartoons, The Mummy Strikes, this is one that I remember fondly as a kid. Like, this one, I remember, like, out of all the Fleischer Superman cartoons, this is the one that legitimately, like, creeped me out. Like, this one scared me. And it had a lot to do with the music. The music was really creepy. And the visuals in this episode, I thought, were really good in, as far as the bad guys. Like, it's kind of funny. It starts off with like a really weird thing. Like, so this lady gets framed for a murder. Like, there's a syringe on the site. It's got her fingerprints on it, and everyone very quickly just decides, guilty. You're a woman, guilty. There's a hyperdimeter, you're guilty.
You deny poisoning Dr. Jordan, yet you admit these fingerprints are yours.
Yes, but you don't.
That's all.
And so Clark and Lois investigate because they think she's innocent, whatever, right? Or some guy comes forward and thinks, hey, no, I found some other
Clark
shit around.
Clark gets a phone call and says, yes, she's innocent. And then Clark's like, all right. She's innocent.
Yeah,
I need to go explore.
Yeah, there's no gray area. It's just like, okay, yeah, you're right. Or there's it's either black and white. It's like she's
innocent. And then Clark actually takes the initiative and, like,
yes,
he even, like, kind of
he lies to Lois.
Yeah, he lies to Lois.
He's like, oh, that's my doctor. I got to go, Lois.
Doctor.
Yeah, so again, that's what Clark has to do, though, when he's competing with Lois, because Lois is so cutthroat. He's got to use the same tactics, man.
That's right.
But anyway, he goes, and we get into admittedly a boring part of the story. It's the long, lengthy backstory of the mummy and what happened. I won't get into it. There was a mummy once a long time, or there was a pharaoh, or no, King Tush. They say this about 20 times in the episode, King Tush.
He who disturbs the eternal sleep of King Tush shall perish.
Not Tut, Tush.
Not Tut, Tush, because copyright Tut, I guess. They couldn't use Tut.
Yeah, right.
Many times King Tush is referred to. There's a mummy backstory where these bodyguards promise to protect this pharaoh even in death. So I guess at some point during the exposition, this professor guy says that the doctor who died said that he had come up with a way to bring people back from the dead, I guess, right?
Yeah, he has the formula.
He has the formula. None of that, though, is gotten into later, because basically the formula, I guess, drips onto a mummy or something, right? If I remember correctly?
No, I think...
Or something gets activated and, like, the mummy comes back to life, or the mummy...
He opened the tomb, right?
Oh, and that's all it took?
And then the...
Oh, right, the little light piece.
Yeah, Tush's necklace.
A little laser beam shoots out and awakens
servants.
All the bodyguards.
Yeah. And the servants are cool because they're big. They're pretty... They're bigger than Superman. They're beefy.
These were the things that creeped me out as a kid. Because when they, it was specifically the moment when they wake up. Because like the eyes open up like this, they get really big, and but then they're just like just blank eyes. They're like Michael Myers' eyes. There's nothing there. They're doll's eyes. They open up and then like his like face like frowns and contorts and he looks pissed. And like you said, he is ripped. He is giant. And like he's like Hulk size, and there's like four of them, I think.
Yeah,
right?
There's four.
There's four of them, and like again, I think a lot of these best installments do. They actually provide an obstacle to Superman. Like there's moments where you're like, oh, he's kind of getting his ass kicked a little bit here.
It's reminiscent of the mechanical monsters.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They put up a fight, but oddly enough, you would think because they're mummies and they're the undead that they couldn't die. But Superman just punches them, a building collapses, and then I guess they're dead? That's the dumb thing about this episode. It's just like, they're the undead, though, so they're not dead. Are they just trapped? Maybe. Did they become like a new exhibit at a zoo, like the Arctic Giant, or at the museum? Are they chained up? Like, what the fuck happened? They're undead. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing the issue I have with this episode is... kind of something logic related, and basically, so Jane Hogan, that's the woman who gets sent to prison. She's sent to prison because the dead body is found with a syringe, like David said.
Yeah.
But what we find out is that there's like a poison needle that comes out of the crypt. So, and somehow that disproves that Jane Hogan killed.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, basically, oh, we found a needle, so that means that the syringe didn't do it or something.
Yeah, there's no way to prove which one it was.
I don't understand how it was making any sense. Like, Jane Hogan set free because poison needle is found at a crypt.
Poison needle was found.
But the dead body wasn't found with a needle. It was found with a syringe. So
exactly.
Like, this, and the syringe is like a human creation. Like, this needle is obviously from the ancient times. So
yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And those are the things that hurt this episode because they're like the visuals are great. The music is great. And I would recommend this episode based on all that. But there is a lot of like there is some shit you have to wade through to get to that, because that happens at the end of the episode.
Yeah, it's almost like the beginning and the end are kind of the weak points.
Yeah, it's the climax that's great, I think. And legitimately well done. Like, this is the 14th of 17 shorts. And you'd think by this point they would... like the quality would have declined. I mean, certainly the storytelling has declined, but I feel like this is like a little dip back up.
Yeah.
I'll say this in terms of the quality visually, they've all looked great. Mm-hmm. Even the worst episodes have looked great. So that's not an issue, but the storytelling has definitely suffered as of late. But this is one instance where it's kind of dipped back up a little bit. We got some cool visuals, but yeah, there's a bit too much exposition, I think, in an 8-minute short that you can jettison. It could be very simple and just rely on those visuals like you do in the earlier episodes. But kind of a nice little respite from all the shittiness lately in this series. I enjoyed this one. Again, this is a fond memory for me as a kid.
Yeah, it's a good little pick-me-up after the last 3 or 4.
Yeah, I know. So that's a recommend for me. What about you, Poof?
Yeah.
You'd recommend it overall?
Yeah, I guess I would put it on probably on par with like the magnetic,
telescope.
Yeah,
that's fair. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the 14th installment of the Apocalypse Video CryptoCast. We'll be back next time with Jungle Drum.
Jane Hogan said, free. This is one time I've scooped you, Lois.
Yes, lucky for you, I was hurt.
Incidentally, who told you I was at the museum?
My mummy done told me.